You know, so many people ask me, all one of them, where was Roger? And I think the answer was he abandoned his car on the side of the road in Atlanta or something like that.
Yeah, but there was an inch of snow, and I just didn't know what to do. And so I just walked home.
Now, it's interesting, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit. First, I got to say, hi, how are you? My name's Jeremy. His name's Roger.
Yes.
And we're here with a program called Lawrence and Taylor. Okay, now that we've got the introductions out of the way.
And I came to work today.
And you did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm impressed. Yeah. We had someone almost miss you yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
They were a caller.
It wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me.
Okay.
No, but no, actually, I think there was somebody that was saying, so Roger's not coming in today? And I said, no, he had some things going on. Oh, okay. That was about it around the building.
I wanted to spend some quality time with my dentist.
Aha.
Yes.
Always a desire on the part
of
people.
Hey.
You know, you want to be able to sit down and have that inevitable conversation where he says, so, you do any fishing? And you go,
Exactly. And don't they always ask questions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As if you could answer.
And at the most inopportune time. Okay,
yes.
Now spit. Of course, they don't do that anymore.
Nah.
They got that little thing that
they jam
sucks
in
up
your
face.
And,
yeah. So, yeah.
But I survived, and I'm back.
Now, the reference we were making at the beginning of the show, of course, was all the snow that's hit the South. And,
yes.
The amount of craziness that's going on there, which most of us in the Midwest and in any place at all that gets snow on a regular basis, just kind of sit and quietly chuckle and shake our head, you know. Just, Now, I've seen, because I used to live in South Louisiana for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen pictures on there. Some of my my connections on Facebook are sending through pictures of local grocery stores with the shelves empty.
Yes. No, I mean, Pop-Tarts in sight.
Completely empty. I mean, they don't even have, like, you know, spices anymore, basically. Everybody's just emptying the grocery stores. And there was somebody that said, well, here's a great way to keep ice off your windshield.
And what was their idea?
Their idea was to put a tarp over their car.
Well.
Which, okay, that works. But I have to admit, my first reaction when I saw this was like, okay, that's what they do to cars that have been in an accident and nobody wants to see what's left inside. You know,
yeah.
They put a tarp over it. And I'm thinking, you know what? In the states that get snow, we have these things called ice scrapers.
Well, and don't they get frost down there fairly regularly?
Mm.
Something you might have to scrape off your windshield?
On rare occasions. Very rare.
Less rare than a snowstorm, but on rare occasions.
Very rare occasions. I think I had to scrape my windshield once ever when I was there.
But you had a scraper.
Which I did. And I actually kept it up by the driver's seat because I was like, you know what? You never know.
Right.
You know, because I was like, I'll be prepared for this. Nobody else will be, but I will be. So it has been funny. But truth be told, they don't have any clue how to deal with it, because they don't get it, ever.
Right, right.
You know, so I feel for them a little bit. Now, on the other side, I've also seen the videos of friends who send their kid out on the back patio and do some ice skating, which is kind of fun to watch. You
right,
know,
right.
Sitting there skating on a patio where normally they grill out, you know.
Right.
And, you know, other things where people are going out and saying, you won't believe the snow we got. I mean, we got like half a centimeter.
Yeah. All in one time.
It's amazing. I'm not even stepping into my yard. I don't think I'll live.
I was in southern Texas in a freak snowstorm. And Bubba, because his truck with four-wheel drive could get to 70, had no idea that his truck was out of control as he went down the road.
Sure.
And you'd see the brake lights come on and not blink once as the truck careened into other cars or off both sides of the bridge it was sliding across. And they just have no snow driving skills.
No.
Even the people who live there who had them at one time have lost those skills.
Sure.
Just you don't use them.
For lack of use.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I have to admit, I was finding it humorous until they started talking about kids being trapped in school buses overnight in an expressway, and they couldn't get them home.
And I guess you think to yourself, okay, get police officers with these kids and walk them off the expressway, get them somewhere where they can maybe find their way someplace, or, you know, make sure these kids get someplace. Yeah,
it wasn't like there was any moving traffic anywhere. I mean, you could walk safely through all the stalled cars.
Well,
they were bringing in the National Guard to tow away abandoned vehicles. I've got a friend who's going to Florida Friday, and he's planning on driving through Atlanta. It'll be interesting to see if they get the expressways cleared by then. Of cars.
Now, the funny thing about it, because my brother was just in Atlanta just in the last couple of days and talked about cars everywhere and that kind of thing, but he was actually able to ride out some sort of a rail system.
Oh, yeah,
MARTA. To go to the airport to get out of town. But he said when he got there, there's an awful lot of flights that were being canceled. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting on his plane. Then they spent 2 hours de-icing it, which, I mean, you know, Atlanta doesn't see that much ice. I mean,
right.
Last time I flew through Atlanta, it was in December, and they weren't de-icing. You know, it was raining. That was, you know, they don't deal with this too often.
Yeah, they don't have the car wash kinds of gadgets that you just drive the plane through and it de-ices it, like you see at a lot of airports up here.
So they're sitting there with their little spray thing.
Yeah,
their little
yeah.
gadgets. Okay, let's spray this now, and you know, so it's going to take a little while. I chuckle, I laugh, only because I grew up here, or at least relatively close to here.
Well, here was where they had winter, at least.
In the Midwest here is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I chuckle a little bit, but I don't make too much fun, because I know if I were down there, I'd be going, guys, come on.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of ice.
This is nothing to panic about.
But I would be in the extreme minority, I know. So.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know, a lot of people haven't seen that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, but there's been interesting stuff about the weather. There's been a video going around of Jim Cantore at a college where he's talking about the weather and somebody comes in and charges him. I don't know if you've seen this video.
No.
It's hysterical. He actually, in the middle of his report on the Weather Channel, he doesn't even miss a beat. This kid comes rushing straight at him. So then he just kind of lifts him up and almost knees the kid in the groin as he runs at him.
Really?
It's a funny little video, actually.
Well, you'll have to post that on our blog.
May have to do that here in the next couple of days. And I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because it's a relatively new thing we're doing. They, for some reason, since they were just crazy enough to give us a show, they said, you know what? You guys need an online blog as well.
You can't do enough damage in just 2 hours.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So what we decided to do here, because, we just kind of like funny things, is we've been on the lookout for videos, various types of videos that are just out there, you know, different viral type stuff. And there's all sorts of things out there. I mean, how many of these videos have you seen online and you've been on Facebook and your friend posts it and that kind of thing? It's that kind of stuff, really.
Yeah.
So we've posted a couple of different things. Yesterday was the bad lip reading more NFL video. If you've not seen that, it is well worth your time looking at that. Today, and I would have done the Jim Cantore video, but this little video, I think, will last a bit longer that we put on there. Delta Airlines, of course, you know, they always have to insult you by teaching you how to put on a seatbelt before every flight.
Like you've never seen a seatbelt before.
Let's see. You put this side and this to get, click, hey!
And to release.
Yeah.
To get out of said seat, you...
So, you know, they always put you through the safety routine, and well, they put together a video that covers every safety imaginable on a plane, telling you where the life rafts are and how to get out in case of an emergency and the emergency seating and all that stuff and seat belts and all of that. But in the midst of this video is just about every 80s reference you could make. I mean, the clothes, the hair.
The dancing.
The dance styles, you name it, it's in there. It's a five-minute video. There's even just a fleeting reference to one of my favorite movies in there, which you got to watch all the way through to get to. But you'll see it. You just have to see it, then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know,
I won't spoil it for you. I really won't.
It probably tricks people into paying attention.
Certainly.
Have you ever looked about you in a plane when they're going through that as if there was anybody that even looked up anymore?
Now, I have to admit, there was, and I'm not saying the last time I flew, but I think the time before that, it had been a good long while since I'd been on the plane, at least before September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, I'll watch the safety thing because something might change. After that, I was like, okay, nothing changed. Good.
Yes.
And after that, when they're going through the safety thing, you're just kind of sitting there, okay, I'm going to read a book.
Right.
You know, I just, you know.
Because you know how to put a seatbelt on.
Sure, you know. And chances are I've already done it when I sat down in my too small for me seat.
Yes.
So, in fact, those seats, they only really fit, I think, eight-year-olds, really. They make them smaller and smaller.
Well, did you see, speaking of Delta, they put their new thin seats in planes, and they've discovered that after the plane has been in service for about 3 months, they get fewer complaints about how thin these seats are, because what little padding there is in it has all packed down, and they don't feel as cramped. And so they were proud to announce that after 3 months of use, we get fewer complaints about our uncomfortable seats.
Because you're sitting in someone else's butt grooves in the seat.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So they've broken it in for you.
Yeah.
I think I saw another poll that said, flyers don't like the new thin line seats. And I'm like, oh, you needed a poll for that one? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now I have to admit, I'm not a large enough person to need two seats on an airplane, and I'm thankful for that. I really am. But
you're tall.
Where
do you put your legs?
I pretty much have to fold them into four and put them in the lower compartment beneath me.
Yeah, as checked baggage.
You know, you almost have to do that because you get on these seats, there's not room for much of anything.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I flew one time recently, and it was on one of those little puddle jumpers. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The one row of seats on one side and then the two on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate enough to not only be able to sit on the side with just the one seat, but in the front of all of that. So there was leg room. There was comfort, and nobody was talking to me. Unfortunately, the flight lasted 45 minutes, but it was one of the best 45 minutes I've ever had on a plane.
You were comfortable for that entire 45-minute flight.
You know, it felt good, and you didn't have somebody sitting next to you saying, so what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
You know, because we're all bored to death on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, we say all that to say this. The in-flight safety, I know you mostly ignore it, but this one from Delta, I think it's one of those things they've done well. And
worth watching.
It's worth it. So check it out. It's at our website, WKZO.com. And in fact, if you're hooked up with us on Facebook, we've got a link to it right there. So you'll be able to check that out at our Facebook site. And if you say, well, wait a minute, Facebook, you guys are on Facebook?
We're everywhere.
Of course. So I'll tell you what. If you haven't yet hooked up with us on Facebook, we've done something very convenient for you. If you go to our website, WKZO.com, and you click on the little F up at the top, you know the F I'm talking about, the one that looks like Facebook's logo and the whole bit. If you click there, it'll take you right to the page. Just that simple. You
can go convenient.
There, click there, and then hit like. Just that simple.
Do we charge for that?
Absolutely free.
Huh?
I wouldn't charge for a thing like that.
Wow. We give that stuff away just free.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? And then you can go and check out for yourself all the stuff that we put up there because little by little we're putting some more things up there we want you to see, including the video that, I'll give away this part of it. Since it's the 80s, Alf is in it. He has no lines, unfortunately. That would have been fun.
He doesn't have a speaking part.
He doesn't have a speaking part, but he does appear in the... you know, I was just waiting for him at one point to click the seatbelt and look up and go, interesting concept.
Yeah, this flying.
Flying. How different.
Who would have thought?
So that's up. Check that out on our blog. And like I said, we've got that posted on our website. If you go a little bit further down, there's a link on our website as well underneath all the news, because that's the important stuff we want you to see first. But then we want you to see our fun, meaningless stuff after that. So definitely check that out.
And yes, sometimes it is hard to tell the difference, but not for our discerning listeners.
Certainly not.
Right.
Certainly not.
Right.
So other things that we're going to spend some time on today. Did you know, they're always trying to invent new and different things out there. And, people are around the world are just some of the most innovative people.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come up with an interesting women's undergarment.
I saw this.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Because this is interesting what it does. You will be amazed at what it does.
I was personally intrigued. That's all I'm saying.
Not that you've ever actually had to use one of these particular things, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. So you missed out on another of our fun topics yesterday. We talked about, I think it was a German farm where...
I did see that.
Yes, the flatulent cows exploding the barn.
Where
yes.
did that spark come from? Woof!
Yeah, they're saying it was static electricity, but I'm kind of wondering if,
one of those cows was playing with matches.
Could have been, you know, trying to light them up or something like that, or, Farmer Hans or whatever, But
well, that brings back college day memories.
For a lot of people, and they're saying, stop.
Right.
Stop. I don't want to know. Don't want people to know I wasn't that refined. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And, of course, State of the Union. Believe it or not, there was a speech last night. Who knew? And we're going to spend a little time talking about that as the program continues ahead. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls as well.
How many of the different Republican feedback loops were you in last night? Did you see one or all of them?
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about that as we continue the program.
Okay.
So 382-4280, our phone number, 877-382-4280. As Lawrence and Taylor continues.
Higher price.
Continued deterioration in housing.
Kalamazoo News, every morning with Kalamazoo's Morning News on 590 WKZO.
Only a Garmin Nuvi with real directions tells you where to turn by pointing out easy-to-see landmarks like turn left after the gas station. Get a Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS.
WKZO.com, AccuWeather Forecast.
Partly sunny, brisk, and bitterly cold this afternoon. The high 16 degrees, but AccuWeather real field temperatures will be remaining below zero. Partly cloudy for tonight, quite cold with a low of 10. Windy tomorrow with some snow in the afternoon and at night accumulating a coating to an inch or so. High tomorrow, 27 degrees. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Get AccuWeather anytime at WKZO.com.
Okay, relax. Relax. I know it was a lot to put up with not having us as a part of your radio right just a few seconds ago. So we decided to come back.
Yeah.
Because we're here for you. You just can't get enough of me.
We decided
and,
you
and
hadn't,
that Roger guy too.
You hadn't been punished enough yet for the day. And so we came back.
And speaking of punishment, State of the Union was taking place last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about this off air briefly, but one of the things that I've decided to do in the last couple of years, and I tell you what, I don't feel horrible for the rest of the night, regardless of what I've listened to or anything like that. I tell myself, you know what? I'm not watching any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what I do is I read the speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a reason for that, a couple of reasons. First of all, I feel like you get more of what the content is about. You're going to be able to read some of these things and see for yourself what the president has to say. Plus, you don't have to put up with the every 5 seconds when the president says, hi.
Or the length of time it takes him to walk from the door to the podium.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
While he's shaking hands and hugging everybody.
Well, and I've never understood, and I know it's part of the whole tradition of the moment and that kind of thing. You've got the guy at the door that says, "Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States." And then you have all this cheering and, "Yeah, all right," and clapping, and he's coming down. Finally, he gets up front and, you know, shakes the hand of the Speaker and the Vice President and the whole bit, and things calm down. And then the Speaker says, "I present to you the President of the United States." And here we go again.
It starts all over, yeah.
I think, you know what? And we said this yesterday on the show, is I'm all for a State of the Union where, okay, we'll have the whole cheering as he comes in and he just comes up and says, "All right, guys, we got some work to do. We got a lot to get through. Hold your applause. Feel free to let loose at the end of the speech. But right now, we're going to get into the State of the Union. Here we go."
Mm-hmm.
And then dig into the speech. Because for me, I'm all about the content of it. Let's listen to what he says. Let's listen to what, and by he, I guess he or she, the president, whoever it may be, mm-hmm. regardless of party, regardless of male or female, because it'll happen at some point. A woman will be elected. I'd rather just hear what the president has to say and not watch as he says one thing and Democrats spring to their feet. Yes! And Republicans are sitting here fuming, no. And then 2 minutes later, he says something Republicans like, and yes! And Democrats are sitting there, no. I can't believe he said that. I get enough of that.
But the one thing you miss by you save yourself a lot of time.
Oh, yes.
Because it moves right along if mm-hmm. you're reading it, unless you stop every other minute for 5 minutes of applause that you do.
Tempting as it is to stand up in my seat when I read the speech, I avoid it.
But you don't see the facial expressions of people, and that is sort of interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there weren't any buffoons just shouting out at the president this mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm. Or holding up signs. That's happened before.
Yeah. You don't get to see if there's that kind of hostility mm-hmm. in the room. And so you lose some of the emotional content, but you're right.
I suppose.
You gain the true information, and you do sure save a lot of time.
Now, I suppose one thing that everybody missed out, because, you know, Hillary's not part of any government circles at this point. We didn't have Hillary Clinton sitting there with that scowl on her face, as she did generally every time she was in there. Partially when Bush was in there, just kind of like, I don't like this man. And partially when Obama was in there going, that could have been me. That could have been me.
She wasn't there last night?
I don't think she was, no, because she's not, you know,
she's
secretary of anything at this point.
She's nobody now.
So, no, she
she's
wasn't
just
a part
like
of
you and me.
So, for the time being.
Yeah.
Except apparently.
Oh, she's rich.
Yeah, she's got a lot of money and apparently hasn't driven since 96. I did read that. But
I don't think they let the Secretary of State drive around.
No, and I think they kind of frown on it when the First Lady does, when she was, I guess she said when she did that, the Secret Service had a few things to say.
What, when she snuck out to Target one night?
I guess. I don't know where she went.
I thought she went to Target.
Was it Target? I didn't know. But well, there you have it. State of the Union, we'll talk about a little bit further. Take your calls as well as Lawrence and Taylor continues ahead. You're spending your time with none other than Lawrence and Taylor.
You're the Lawrence part?
I am. Wait, let me check. Yes. Okay. Yes, I am. Okay.
See, I noticed that right off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the whole, I think that's where we got the name. I'm not sure.
Really?
But, I figured since.
Well, process of elimination,
you know,
means I'm the Taylor part.
I guess. So does that mean, like, you sew clothing and could make me a suit?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You are a multi-talented man, let me tell you.
I can do that while we discuss the State of the Union address.
You're a multitasker.
Yeah.
There you go. I personally am a unitasker, see, so that's the problem. It's just one thing is happening, and that's all I can handle right now.
I call that linear, and I'm linear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get distracted much.
See, so there you're a linear multitasker.
Yeah.
See, that sounds like the sort of thing you put on a resume that sounds wonderful, but nobody really knows what it means.
And isn't that what resumes are for?
Yes, you know, linear multitasker with a multifaceted process designed to... What?
Designed for maximum throughput.
And efficiency.
Yes.
Efficiency has to be in there. It's a key word. It's got to be on there.
Yeah.
So.
No, maximum throughput.
Throughput.
Yes.
I never put throughput on my resume, I have to admit.
I think that's a good word to throw throughput. In nowadays.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, efficiency is great. Mm-hmm. They eat that up because not a lot of people spending money these days. So, he's efficient? Oh, he's cheap. Good. You know? Sadly, you can't put "I'm cheap" on there.
True.
That might fly with some people, but
well, yeah,
not everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's cheap. Good. You know,
McDonald's would just get right on that. Okay, here's one.
There you go. Let's see, $7.40 an hour. Yeah, you're cheap, right?
Well, that was one of the things, and we'll talk about this after we get done with Bob, but
certainly.
That was one of the things that came up in the State of the Union last night.
Among many things that were in the State of the Union. One of the things, though, that was not in the State of the Union, and I was just deeply concerned about this because I think this is the one thing that we all need to focus on, and that is... Bob Larson.
Yes.
He didn't show up in the State of the Union.
I got no shout-outs, no.
They didn't even pan to him in the audience.
It's true.
Yeah,
I was all prepared.
We'd see him in the gallery there next to Michelle Obama or something, but sadly, no.
And he deserves that recognition.
Maybe there's always next year.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we're working on it for you, Bob.
Okay.
Well, Bob, it's been... interesting talking to you the last couple of days with all the cold temperatures and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Will our weather be quite as interesting in the coming days?
Well, as I look down the road, and we're going into a somewhat different weather pattern here that's evolving this weekend. It's going to take us through at least next week, if not the week beyond. And before we get too excited and think, oh my gosh, thank goodness, finally a change in the weather pattern. Be careful what you ask for and wish for, because while it is a different weather pattern, the focus of attention appears to be shifting more toward snow rather than extreme cold.
Mm.
So it's pick your poison. And I'm not sure where to go with this. I mean, we've had both, of course, over the past several days and for the better part of this January.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in recent times, it seems as though the extreme cold has trumped the snow. I mean, mm-hmm. we've had both, but the greatest attention, the greatest harshness seems to have been from the excessive cold over the past few days and nights. But what I'm getting at is I don't see the cold being as extreme over the next several days, the next week or two. I think the worst of that for this winter is behind us. The days are getting longer. The averages start to come up in another week or so, average highs and average lows, albeit slowly. We're adding more and more sunlight to each day. So that's a good thing. But unfortunately, I see more opportunity for more moisture-laden storms to come up from the south. We have had storms. They've been mostly clippers that have come through and some lake effect. But they've all been coming out of the northwest and west. We haven't had those big Gulf of Mexico storms that are loaded with moisture and heavy wet snow or a lot of precipitation. And we could be in line for more of those or some of that in the next few weeks. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's certainly not a good thing. It's different. So the word is snowy. That's my word.
Is this all because of the jet stream configuration?
Yeah, it looks like it's changing a little bit. The flow of air for the north from out of the Arctic should be, as we say, relaxing a little bit. The polar vortex starting to retreat northward a little bit, but still enough cold air to be coming down for the north so that any storm that does manage to come along would, in fact, be snow, not rain. And at the same time, we're going to start to see more of the way of moisture coming up from out of the south and at least a jet stream that would allow at least some of that storm activity to come northward toward the Great Lakes region and bring us some snow. At first, it's modest amounts of snow. We have snow in the forecast for tomorrow afternoon and early tomorrow night, maybe just an inch or so. That's no big deal.
Another round in Atlanta.
Oh, don't get me started on that. You know how much snow they had?
An inch and a half?
About 2.5.
Oh, wow.
Man.
And people are still, and I don't want to poke fun at it. I mean, people were stranded and what, but state of emergency a full day later?
We call those flurries.
I don't know. I just scratched my head, but I...
I'm sorry.
You derailed me here.
Yes, I'm sorry.
But, he does that to me all the time,
that's
Bob.
Fine.
Don't worry about it.
More light snow probably Friday night, maybe another inch or two. I think later Saturday and Saturday night we could be in line for maybe several inches of snow as the system comes through with another snowstorm maybe about the middle of next week, a week from today, Wednesday. So we're going to have numerous snow events over the next several days. And while not as cold, it's certainly not going to be mild. And I still don't see where we can get above freezing in the foreseeable future. Mid-20s tomorrow and Friday, maybe again Saturday. A little bit colder Sunday and Monday, a little bit less cold Tuesday. But at no point do I see 35 to 40.
Well, you know, Bob, I'm seeing, I think, a money-making opportunity that I want to work with you on here.
Okay, what's that?
Because... with all this snow coming down, the one thing that we're having a problem is where to put it all. So if you and I can work on that and come up with a solution, I think, you know, we'd make millions off of this, particularly this winter.
Yeah, we're going to have to put our thinking caps on and be creative.
Okay.
I'm thinking we should just make big piles.
Well.
Stack it higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
A skyscraper of snow.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Well. Doesn't make a whole lot of money, but I guess it's the best we got right now.
So no below zero temperatures for the next couple of weeks. Is that what I'm hearing? I'm trying to come away from this with something to smile
about. Honey, you should mention that. We might dip below zero Sunday night following that second weekend storm. If we get it, we would have to have a clear night with light wind, and it could go down to a few degrees below zero. But without the extraordinarily harsh wind chill... it could still be below zero, but maybe not 15 or 20 or below or anything along those lines. But I'm not going to close the book on sub-zero cold. If we get it, it would just be for a night or so. It wouldn't be several nights. I don't see a day with a high of 3 or 4 or something along those lines like we had to struggle with yesterday. I don't see that. But we could still get a night or two that goes below zero. That's still within the realm of possibility.
Well, okay. You rained on that parade.
Yeah. Shot that down.
No, he snowed on that.
Yeah, that's right. I did.
It's snowed below on freezing. That. So, yeah. So, they're giving us that little burst of sunshine, as it were.
It has been a struggle to find the silver lining this entire week. But at least I can say it's nice to see the sun shining today psychologically.
Yes.
For me, anyway, that truly helps having it bright and sunny.
Well, you know, I think, Bob, we do have this one promise that we can look ahead to and know that it's a sign spring is coming. At some point here pretty soon, pitchers and catchers report.
That's so, right. You know, it's always a plus.
We know that means that it's a sure sign something's going to
happen. Right. They're not reporting around here, but they're going to be reporting somewhere. And as long as it's south of Atlanta, they'll be in good shape.
There you go.
Right.
All right.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
You too.
Okay. Bob Larson from AccuWeather keeping you in the know on that. And we'll try and keep you in the know on what our opinions are on things. We're good at that, I think.
We have them anyway.
Yeah, we do. And we tend to hand them out
free.
Well, yeah, free for the ticket. I was going to say rather liberally, but that's only you.
Ooh, ooh, I like it.
We'll continue our discussion. Hey, keep it right here. With Roger playing his air guitar. I'm really glad you don't have a real one over there.
I'm good. Can't you hear?
Of course.
While yes. I kiss the sky.
Of course. A legend in his own mind, Roger Taylor, ladies and gentlemen.
I was doing Jimi Hendrix at the same time.
Hard to do that to a song where Jimmy's not actually playing.
But, I know. You know it was his interpretation of Norman Greenbaum's
song. There you
song.
Go. Yes. Okay.
So doing a cover.
That's what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
A cover that only you could hear.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was good.
Of course. Lawrence and Taylor is the name of the program. Of course, you heard he's Roger. I'm Jeremy. How you doing? Good. Okay. See, they all answer me then. I don't know why.
Yeah, I heard it too.
If we're all hearing things in our mind, maybe it's time for a little more professional help.
And but, today's surprise, thermometers have two digits.
Yes.
Who knew?
Yeah. You know, normally you say, the funny thing about this, though, to see the weather, because I saw a weather report that came out of Alaska a few days ago.
Balmy up there.
Yeah, they're having like 40-degree weather.
Yeah.
And I saw in some place where they actually had an avalanche because the snow was melting.
Mm-hmm.
And it created some sort of a lake or something.
A 100-foot ice dam that flooded the highway. Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that too. Yeah.
It was interesting to see, you know, because I kind of think to myself, you know, I walked in the front door here the other day and I said something about, did I take a wrong turn and end up in Alaska?
Right.
No, I didn't take the wrong turn. The weather did.
Well, so, that warm air that's up there is what was strong enough to push the polar vortex out of place. Weird weather.
So there's hot air up there. Did Al Gore go up there again?
Yeah.
I just got to ask. Yeah. You know, with the hot air that he tends to spew every now and again.
Is he still around?
Al Gore?
Yeah.
As far as I know.
You don't hear him much anymore.
No, you don't. That might be a good thing.
Not since he sold his TV network to Al Jazeera.
Yeah. Yeah, he's laughing all the way to the bank, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess if he can make the money, why not?
That's what the free enterprise system is all about.
There you go. Make the money and go retire on an island somewhere.
So, last night, what was your impression of reading? You didn't hear him.
I've heard little bits and pieces on the news today,
but what
of course,
was your impression of the State of the Union?
I was surprised at some of the... It was apparent he was trying to reach across the aisle with some of the things that he was coming across with. I mean, not only the thing about a barkeep's son could be the speaker and that kind of thing, which apparently John Boehner was rather moved at. Now, I don't think
did he cry?
I don't think he pulled his hanky out from what I could hear.
Oh,
but
that's how you know.
But you know,
if you've really gotten to him, he cries.
And normally he just kind of sits there scowling and just kind of like that. All right, when can we be done? You know, I've got to watch a soap after this and then get my crying fix in, you know.
Yeah, but,
you know, and he'll sit there next to Biden, who kind of sits there with that glazed smile on his face. I'm not sure. But no, I mean, I think there was some of that genuine effort to say, all right, well, let's work together, at least in the words that I saw. And granted, I didn't hear the president. I read the president.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I didn't get to see the inflections and facial features and that kind of thing. But all in all, I think that was surprising. I don't think it was terribly surprising that he sat around and in the same speech attempted to take credit for low unemployment while at the same time mentioning that there's an awful lot of people out of work. I thought that was an interesting balancing act to do with a couple of his statements that he made from one point in the speech until a little bit later. A lot of the things he's talking about, and I think it comes down to just the way the president looks at, you know, his theory on the way government should work and that kind of thing. The idea that we've got problems and government can be the solution versus the age-old conservative Ronald Reagan idea of government's not the solution, government is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you break it down, that's what I really saw in the speech itself was an awful lot of, here's something government can do to help you. I mean, it's a lot of things that sound nice. You know, will they come to pass? Who knows? And they probably won't, and it's an election year. I mean, he's talking about a year of action. No, it's going to be a year of talk. We know that.
My impression, I was disappointed in how small the speech was. And I'm certain it's because last year he had some big visions that fizzled. Congress, the most do-nothing Congress in history, did nothing. And it was sad to me to see how small our country has become. We used to have grand visions of what the United States could do. We're exceptional, and we can do great things. and not so much anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's down to, well, maybe we might be able to raise the minimum wage. But the call to action from the president was scaled down to sort of show what a diminished country we're becoming.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have that, and I don't think you've ever really had in Obama. Once he got to be president, you didn't have that guy that made you feel like, America is great. I'm ready to go do big things for this country. I'm ready. I'm excited about where we're going.
Not with a Congress that stands in the way of everything.
Well, even still, when he had Congress where he could work with them, the only thing he came up with is affordable health care, which really is not working for an awful lot of people.
Oh, it is. You keep saying crap like that.
It isn't working for a lot of people.
It isn't working for some people.
A lot of people.
But 3 million people have signed up. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are some things that need fixing. One of the few bright spots I heard last night in what's the woman from the Northwest who did one of the Republican rebuttals?
Kathy McMorris Rogers. She is the official Republican response, yes.
I didn't sense in her. She actually said we can't go back to how it used to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that's the first sign that Republicans aren't still on the repeal, 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 repeal mantra, and that maybe we will start addressing some of the things that need fixing in this law.
Well, and I wouldn't necessarily say that it's the first sign, because I think one thing that has happened with Republican efforts have been they've not been out there in the public. And a lot of that is on Republicans for not talking about it. But one of the things that has come out recently is there's been some Republican senators who've put together a plan that says, all right, and it's Coburn, Burr, and Hatch got together.
Oh, yeah.
And put together a program to say, all right, it would repeal Obamacare, but here's what it would replace it with. And it goes through and talks about, all right, here's some of the popular things that are in Obamacare that we're going to keep. We're going to hold on to this. And then we're going to talk about market-oriented reforms, some solutions that way, reforming some of the legal problems that have to do with health care. These are things that, and I've not read through the plan word for word. I've read through a summary of it. Not everything is something where I go, wow, great idea. But I say at the very least, these guys are sitting down saying, here's our plan.
Well, and after all this time, isn't it about time? They had, you know, at first the conservatives were talking repeal and replace,
mm-hmm.
but they had nothing to replace it with.
Mm-hmm.
All these years later, they have finally come up with a plan. And they're a little late coming to the table. If they had had a plan several years ago, maybe Obamacare wouldn't be so much to their disliking. But I'm not knocking it. They finally came up with a plan.
Well,
that's a good thing.
The tough part about it, though, when Obamacare was being negotiated, it was being negotiated among Democrats. They were talking with one another.
Yeah,
and
because the Republicans refused to play.
They sat down with Republicans and shot down every idea Republicans brought to the table, every last one of them.
Because they weren't good ideas. They're the same ideas that are resurfacing in when they finally come up with a plan.
And all these ideas that were in Obamacare that are raising premiums, raising rates, raising copays for things. These are good things.
But at least Republicans are not talking about repeal. Maybe they want to fix things and make this country work, you think?
Well, that would be nice.
I dream that Republicans would move to that.
Both sides would be able to sit down and get together. Hasn't happened yet.
It's a law.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.